For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out the shoulders. He's ready. Set down for him. Booted up. It's tumbling. It's turning. It is good! At the horn! It ain't the luck of the Irish. It's the heart of the Jackets. And Georgia Tech knocks off number 10 Florida State. Final score, 24-21.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Oh, Yellow Jackets radio with the call. What a finish. What a game. And Georgia Tech pulling the upset, making Paul Feinbaum looking like a genius right now.
Bobby looks good, too.
Bobby looks great as well, from what I heard. He said last
DJ
week.
DJ Ukulele, he's been killing it.
Ukulele, absolutely. DJU had arguably one of the worst stat lines you are ever going to see.
Don't tell his papa.
In it, do not tell his dad. But his first half stat line was just atrocious.
I saw like the air net yards. It was like, yeah. It was really bad.
It was 12 of 14 in the first half. 12 of 14 for 96 yards.
So, Bobby, you have been calling this kid out for about a year now. Why? What is it?
So, he was a giant recruit at Clemson. He was there.
Number one recruit.
He was supposed to be like the next in their series of quarterbacks that were supposed to, you know, carry on the Clemson tradition. And they dug in on him for a while. He was never good at Clemson. Every single year that he was at Clemson, he just did not look like a legitimate starter at that level. And he ended up having to transfer to Oregon State. Last year, same sort of thing. People started falling in love with Oregon State and like, had a good year. But DJ, they fell in love with again of like, oh, DJ Uiagalelei, he's going to be able to do it. Here he is. He's back. And it's like, don't buy into it. As soon as you've got a legitimate like opponent on the other end, he's going to crumble. He did. Went over to the ACC again in Florida State. I don't know why they thought that this was going to be an adequate replacement for Jordan Travis.
Digging in on this.
Because he absolutely was not. That's a good reference there, Peyton, because I talked to Florida State superfan John Machota after the game.
Yeah.
And I was giving him hell, trolling him about DJ. And he said, you know what? It is very similar to watching some of the stuff we see with Trey Lance at times, where he's like, you see flashes of it, and then other times you're like, he's hesitant. You don't know what he's doing. Like, he just does not look secure in himself at all.
He doesn't process the game well. For a fifth year, that first half stat line, 12 of 14 for 96 yards. If you're a freshman, that's a safe stat line. When you're a fifth year senior who was a top recruit, that's embarrassing. Like, that's a stat line that just shows that you're not ready. And Florida State, they weren't ready. That's the best running back room. Everybody said it's the best running back room in college football. They had 3.2 yards a carry. And they all said the defensive line is the best defensive line college football.
Yeah.
And they got torched on the ground. And Georgia Tech just signed like the top offensive lineman in the country. So like they've got something going on. It's always been a weird like how they didn't ever do anything, because like, Atlanta's a massive recruiting hotbed, and they never have been able to have a foothold there because Georgia takes it all.
Why is this a victory for Paul Feinbaum?
Well, because Paul Feinbaum, a couple of weeks back, was asked which current top 10 team would finish the season unranked. This was 2 weeks ago.
Florida State. First of all, they have no business being in the top 10. They have a difficult schedule. They have Florida State has Miami and Notre Dame. within a three-week period on the road. They end the season with Florida, which is a debatable team. But I think they're going to get caught in the run-of-the-mill ACC game this year, which they did not encounter last year. They lost the guts of their defense. They have a quarterback who has certainly been around and remains a question mark. And I think they also have a hangover. I think they used up too many tears crying about not getting in the playoffs. Damn. And that may slow them down a little bit this year.
All right, I'm back to being a Feinbaum fan. He has been throwing daggers.
Daggers.
He throws these librarian-delivered daggers that freaking cut deep, and I love it.
They do, and a lot
from
of
a freaking tall, bald nerd who never picked up a football in his entire life, and he just destroys the sport and has people like Lane Kiffin worked up.
Yeah, and like his neck is so tiny. It's like a... I don't know how that head like doesn't fall. Like his neck is
looks
so
very much
small.
Like Mr. Mackey. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
You know, RG3 tweeted about this, about those comments, and people are saying, "Oh, that's why I got him fired." It's not why he got fired, but like, you know, he had a long, you know, tweet saying like, you know, that's not something to make fun of. The players, the coaches, they were crying tears for one of the most beloved players in Jordan Travis. Long tweet that he had.
May have been an even worse weekend for Kirk Herbstreit, who is despised now by the Florida State fan base. This is Herbstreit trying to broadcast on College Game Day in Ireland.
Ireland.
Chris Davis alongside Kirk Herbstreit in his 29th season on Game Day. I mean, I think the 12-team playoff, the hype and build of that, and the anticipation of that is, I think, what has so many people excited. Because I think, and Coach has brought this up a number of times in our meetings, instead of just 4, 5, 6, or 17, and this opens it up not just to 12, but 13, 14, 15.
The untouchable golden boy is no longer. They threw someone out who had a pin the nose on the clown sign with Herbstreit. He's just getting roasted by Seminole fans on social media for the playoff and all those takes.
Did he request that they throw him out? Was Ryan Leaf correct? Like what we talked about on Friday, was Ryan Leaf right that he's too thin-skinned? Did he see the clown thing and throw him out? I mean, this could be because of that. It could be because of the Dan Dockich interview. We don't know why they were booing Kirk Herbstreit.
College football kegger here with Sean, RJ, and Roberto, and the Mustangs survive.
Oh, the ponies. This would have been about as embarrassing a ACC weekend as possible if SMU, who gets to jump in and join him, buys their way in there, throws all that money at joining the ACC. If they would have lost this game to Nevada, they were damn near a 30-point favorite against the Wolfpack going into this one. And to be completely honest, when you watch this game, this is one of the two games I watched this weekend, they should have lost. Nevada should have beaten SMU. And this was Preston Stone, their quarterback, getting benched early in the first half after an awful start. First throw of the season goes for a pick. Did not look good at all. Started 1-5. They had to bring in the sophomore, Kevin Jennings, for a couple drives. But this could have been a total embarrassment introduction to the ACC. But who is it but RJ Maryland, the son of one Russell Maryland, former Miami Hurricanes and Dallas Cowboys great. He steps up and absolutely takes over in the fourth quarter. Preston Stone deserves a lot of credit to the Parish Episcopal alum for just like making plays with his legs, making plays with his arm, bouncing back after the benching early in the first half. But this ultimately was RJ Maryland going full Brock Bowers against Auburn last year and owning the fourth quarter for this comeback.
It's going to be interesting to see how they transition to the ACC. And, you know, because they are going to have like it's going to be like it's. The ACC is not, it's certainly not the Big Ten or the SEC, but you are going to have difficult games week in and week out compared to what they've had. But I just see the chief, Ava Hunt, is now an SMU cheerleader, the Chiefs heiress.
Oh my gosh. They're just, I can't keep track of the blondes in that family.
I know.
I can't keep track of the Avas everywhere.
There's a lot of Avas everywhere.
Up.
They showed a picture of her dorm room. It looks like it looks like something out of a movie.
Wait, so that girl who was always, you know, on Bro Bible and Barstool,
no,
whatever,
that's Gracie. That's her older sister.
Okay.
This is Ava. This is the I guess she's a freshman. She's going to be on the cheerleading squad at SMU.
Yeah.
But I'll show you the photo of that. I'll put that on Twitter, the photo of the dorm room. It looks insane.
We played for you the clip and the back and forth of Deion Sanders and this reporter where he said, CBS, you can't ask questions. Then there was a Denver Post columnist named Sean Keeler who Deion's like, why are you doing this, man? Why are you doing this? Well, Colorado has officially banned him from asking questions. They released a statement after a series of sustained personal attacks on the football program and specifically Coach Prime. God, that makes me sick that they address him as Coach Prime, and that's what he wants to be, demands that that's what he is called. We've decided not to take questions from Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler at football-related events. He can still attend as a credentialed member of the media, and other reporters from the Denver Post are welcome to ask questions of the program, including coaches, players, and staff. Go ahead. I know where you're going.
Man, I got to say, whatever Sean Keeler is, whatever he is an elite nickname giver.
Yes, he is.
Okay. He has called Dion in the past.
Trump needs to go to this guy for some updated nicknames. His material getting a little bad. He was very, very good early on.
Very good
early on. He's got a little stale.
Yeah. Terrible nicknames.
Needs
terrible
a new nicknames. Writer.
New writers. Go to Sean Keeler because he has called Dion in the past. False prophet. Deposition Dion.
Ooh, good.
Planet Prime.
Yes.
The Bruce Lee of BS. That's my favorite one. And the Dion Kool-Aid and Circus. Like, this is...
False prophet.
Yeah.
False prophet. And the ban is indefinite.
Indefinite.
That's very good. That's very strong. Denver Post also had the report that within this, they had the nugget reported that I had not seen anywhere before. Dion has a clause in his contract where it only requires him to speak to, quote, mutually agreed upon media with the University of Colorado. So if he doesn't agree on somebody, then he doesn't have to take their questions. And this right here, by the way, for all the ideas of, boy, you know, Jerry's just wanting to hire Dion one day. This right here is why Dion will never be the coach as long as Jerry's still here and making decisions, because he's not going to allow you to just block access to his coach or his team or anything else.
I'm not going to say Deion Sanders, the all-time amazing great athlete, is this word, but Coach Prime is soft. You're soft, Deion. You are a control freak who can't... You are so thin-skinned. Now, do they have the right to do this at the university? Or is the rest of the press going to go ahead and take up this battle? Or does Deion just want these types of questions asked from the rest of the Colorado media?
This is a non-football related question. I recently had a condition, medical condition.
This is real.
2 months ago.
This is real.
And thank God I had Aflac. All right. No, I'm serious.
That's a good one.
You're an ambassador for him, a spokesman for him. How important is it for everyone to have Aflac as part of their life?
Well, it's
amazing, right?
It may sound like I'm doing a commercial where, you know, it covers
the
gaps, you know, that we can't cover.
Amazing.
That guy probably has sideline access.
He probably did. He probably got sideline
there
access.
There you go, Dion. That's what you want.
If Peyton was, like, in that press conference, he would have hit the little cash register noise there when that question started being asked. That's egregious. That's like when you see in a movie, like Spider-Man. Oh, what's he aiming at? What's he trying to practice shooting his weapon? Oh, it's a Dr. Pepper can. Let's get a close-up of the Dr. Pepper. That's just embarrassing.
Choppy,
that's what he wants.
You have an appearance today?
Are
you out and about?
I'm out and about. I'm at Fitzgerald's in Fort Worth. The Fitzgerald of Fort Worth, 4 to 6. Starting off DFW Restaurant Week. It is the filthy, fancy hour. 4 to 6, Fitzgerald of Fort Worth. Right off Camp Bowie.
And what are they known for? What are you going to be?
Well, today we are doing martini and fries. That's what it is. Tanqueray, martini and fries. Dirty martinis, baby. And those dirty fries, they look phenomenal. They look phenomenal. They got a lot of goodies on top. I'm excited about it. So today, the Fitzgerald of Fort Worth, 4 to 6.
Man, I don't eat. I don't drink enough martinis. Every time I have one, I'm like, I should just drink this.
I don't think I've ever drank one.
Extra. It's perfect for you. It's all alcohol.
All alcohol.
Although you wouldn't be able to deal with the olive juice. You just don't have it dirty.
Yeah.
But you would love it. Just cold, chilled. I'm trying to think how he should have his.
Literally cold chilled. No, you would just go.
Well, that's just vodka on the rocks then, basically.
Or gin.
Or gin.
I don't know. I can't chug it out of that cup. That looks really tacky.
Get a different cup.
Guys, like who don't like having the glass.
Yeah.
They order it like in a regular
order. Is it a highball? Is that what it's called? A highball glass or a rocks glass or whatever? But 4 to 6, the Fitzgerald in Fort Worth.
There it is. Everything you need to know to get you set for your week. To recap the weekend with Sean Treif, our Jay Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Star up, star down. We have to finish up the Cowboys-Chargers game. Who was made or broken because of that performance. Bobby thinks this is the week the contracts get done, and a Texas Rangers ticket giveaway during the commercial-free expressway right after this on Sean and RJ.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Left to right, there's an RPO, and Lance kept it in a block downfield, and he's still going. And Lance down the left sideline. Lance to the pylon, and Trey Lance took it all the way. And nobody's handkerchief is on the ground. 46-yard touchdown run from Trey Lance, and that's why you didn't have Aubrey kick the field goal.
Brad Sham with the call on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. The preseason is thankfully done. Who was done on the roster and who saved themselves from Saturday on this radio station in the loss against the Chargers? It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby back together again. Glad you are joining us for the commercial-free expressway, where we are going to hook you up with a Texas Rangers ticket giveaway. Shout out to Flo Man, Darth, Kid Cowboy, Marcus, Cade, and Wayne watching on YouTube and Twitch. The way to hit us up with your star up, star down. That's the way we grade Cowboys games. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. The grade for Trey Lance. Let's get that out of the way. As Brian brought us with a surprise call in, hearing me talk smack about him at 620. I think we went with a B for the first week. What are we going with here?
Weighting this on a bell curve of expectations.
What were your expectations?
None.
Okay.
None. C minus.
Oh.
C minus.
Okay.
Which C. To me is, that to me is A, B, you know, A, B, C. I'm in the top three there. You're on the podium.
You're going higher.
Yeah.
You guys are in the C's with five interceptions.
Yep.
Flat wow.
C. Because to me it's... This is what I've come to expect, is that he's going to be inconsistent. He's going to look really good at times and really bad at times. And that's about what we saw. If you're grading it based on what the expectation has become with Trey Lance and what we've seen from him and what we've seen in terms of consistency, he checked all of the boxes of everything we've seen from him throughout training camp. And that is a guy who is just not consistent enough to start in the NFL. And so a C.
Man, throwing five picks, you get a C. That's a hell of a...
Like I said, the expectations, we're low. We're low here, right? That's kind of where it is.
I guess I'd go at the best C minus, D plus. But I guess C minus. There were better throws, more impressive throws than the week before. But about 75% of the Tolos voting at 105.3 SS, Cooper Rush is the backup quarterback.
What I didn't realize until watching the game back and hearing the commentary on the TV about it was those first two picks he threw to Tony Jefferson. I was like, wow, like why is an NFL veteran standing in here and playing in this game? I come to find, like, he was retired 3 months ago. He was in the Baltimore Ravens scouting department and decided he still could play.
Yes. All right. And he looked like Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu out there combined.
Look, if you're trying to, if you're brought us and you're trying to massage it a little bit and justify it, maybe say, look, he was a scout a couple months ago. He watches the tape. He knew Trey Lance better than anybody else would. What would you want Trey Lance to do?
Jerry Jones on Trey's performance after the game.
Well, I saw good, and I saw some things that you'd like to have back. I hate it. Those five intercepts are going to be a stat on a game that I couldn't have asked for more reps and better situation to watch him play. And he needed that, because the one thing he's missing more than anything is the lack of reps, much less NFL reps. Saw some good things and saw some things you'd like to have back. But overall, I'm glad to have that outing with us. And certainly, we're planning on him being on our roster for sure.
Do you have any regrets over the trade and giving up that fourth round pick?
For a fourth round pick? Are you kidding me? Although we did get Dak. We did get Dak with our second fourth round pick. So you got a point there. But we've had some that didn't play in the fourth round, too.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
that's not going to make many people happy. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me for a fourth round pick? A guy who's not even going to be our backup quarterback and can't beat out Cooper Rush?
Now if he wants to say, do I regret taking a flyer on a guy who was the third overall pick and was viewed that way by the league a couple years ago? No, I'll throw a fourth round pick at that because there's nobody we're throwing a dart at in the fourth round who we evaluate as high as we did Trey Lance when he was coming out.
That's fair.
And so if he wants to say in that respect, I think that's a better way to say it. And that's probably what he's getting at is the idea of it's a fourth rounder, guys. Like we've had guys, like you said, who didn't even play for us who got picked in the fourth round. Mm-hmm. So to try and, you know, get a lottery ticket that he's willing to hold on to still, it sounds like. I get the thought process. I just wouldn't have done it when you look at what the rest of the quarterbacks around the league went for.
Star up, star down, Bobby Belt. Who else was this game big for?
The guys who I think really helped or hurt their chances. Number one to me, we haven't talked at all. I don't know that we've said his name one time throughout training camp. Buddy Johnson, the linebacker who was a fourth round pick out of Texas A&M a couple years ago. See, we come back to fourth round picks. Fourth round pick out of Texas A&M a couple years ago, has bounced around the league a little bit, has been a disappointment. He has really come on strong recently, and he had probably the best game of anybody on defense the other day, just making a lot of different plays in the run and seeing things quickly, you know, identifying them, getting to the ball, working through trash, getting past blockers. He played really, really well. I think he's on the roster, and so that's a spot that maybe you weren't accounting for couple weeks ago. I think now they view him as being on the roster, so he gets a big star up for me. Deuce Vaughn, I think continuing to play the way that he has, which is showing a different style of running than he had put on display last year. I think that he's I had him off last week. My sense in the last couple days is that he's probably on as well.
Deuce?
Yeah.
Jerry was asked if Deuce Vaughn is going to make it.
He obviously has got some very special talent, and you've got to find a place for that. You've got to find a place for it on Sunday to get it on the field. And you need to, that'll be the job of the next few days of weighing what a roster spot means. And he's sitting right there, though. He's certainly, he is gadget juice and at non-gadget times. Mm-hmm. And so, he's going to be interesting for us.
And Choppy, your review of the running back room jumped out the most.
Oh,
I'm not saying, I'm not giving you props yet.
Okay.
I was saying just jumped out of anything anyone wrote last night in the email, your rave review of the running backs.
I mean, again, bell curve, right? Expectations. They were zero because there was a bunch of no names in there, but you had Deuce, Malik, and Royce all at 4.4 a carry or more. Two of them were over 5.5 a carry. And, like, that's tremendous considering you're behind third-string offensive line guys for part of the game. And it's not like this is a Charger unit that allowed 6 yards a carry. They allowed 6 yards a carry on Saturday. And they allowed 4.2 in the first two games, right, on average. So it's like, all right, it's not like they were getting just completely torched, but they torched that defensive front in this game. I thought to me, like, that was, you had three guys that really performed well at the running back position. It made me feel slightly better for the moment. For the moment, slightly better. Now, I don't know how many they carry. Like, how many are they going to carry here?
Yeah, I think Lipke's on the roster as a fullback. And if you do that, you might only be able to keep three running backs. It might be Dowdle, Zeke, and then take your pick between Freeman and Deuce and Malik. I thought in this game on Saturday, if it does come down to you got to pick one of those three, I thought Deuce and Freeman played really well. I thought Malik was a little underwhelming. compared to the others. I thought those,
he had
two,
a nice start.
Those two flashed.
He flashed in the very beginning, I wrote down.
He had a holding call on a Trey Lance run at one point. There were a couple other times where I thought he didn't see the hole quick enough, decisively enough, didn't make a decisive cut. It didn't pop the same sort of way that I saw from Freeman and Deuce. Freeman's the interesting one to me because I think that he's somebody who he's probably off because of the similarity in running style to other guys on the roster, but there's nothing I've seen from him that's been discouraging. He's I've been impressed by him the entire time.
Yeah, that Malik Davis hold wiped out a big Trey Lance run. Then they had a fumbled snap, and then he threw a dime. John Stevens up and down game with that fumble, but Trey made some nice throws to him. Anyone else?
Yeah, star down. We talked about him last week, a fourth-round pick last year and a guy that Dan Quinn was really high on. Junior Fajoko just gives you nothing out there. Junior Fajoko, he...
Simi did.
He was... Yeah, he did. Well, there's star down for Andrew Booth as well.
Yes,
But you watch on that big 70-yard run, the first play that the Chargers got on offense where they're running that end around, Fajoko just could not get over to the edge and couldn't keep the edge like he was supposed to. And it's too often that you see he's just not generating any pass rush. To me, he's off the roster.
You have any star up, star downs you need to throw in there?
I have a question. When the hell did Cooper Beebe take over and make it so he didn't even need to play in this last game? I was out last week, so forgive me.
It was a fast rise.
But I can't get it away. I mean, my goodness. I mean, he was throwing bounce passes in the first week of training camp to the quarterback from center. When did it go from, we got a problem here, to, he's the starter. He doesn't even need to play in this final preseason game.
So we talked about this on Thursday and Friday last week, the idea of coaches like to see whenever you show consistent progression and consistent improvement, that they are willing to deal with some growing pains in the process if they feel like you're always stacking good days on top of good ones. That's something BB did pretty consistently with his snapping. The issues have not been nearly as consistent as they were early on in training camp. The snaps are more on target. He hasn't had as many problems with it. In fact, in the games, the only one who had a snap issue, I think in the three games, was Hoffman. It wasn't BB. And he is the better guy, once the ball is snapped and you're just into blocking, he's better than Hoffman right now. And so I think that there was enough development on that front that they comfortably said, all right, you went out. Last week, it really became a competition where they were kind of alternating, but that clearly looked like it was settled on Saturday.
We have some breaking news here on the home of the Cowboys, which the Dallas football team will gladly welcome. Bobby saw this from Adam Schefter. Nick Chubb will not be playing against the Cowboys. Cleveland is expected to leave Nick Chubb on the physically unable to perform list, which means he is ineligible to be active during the first four games of the season. Breaking news on the fan presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. That's big.
That's big. That is big.
Do they still have Hunt?
Oh, boy, you'd ask me.
I don't know.
Okay. What,
does this...
Jerome Ford, I believe, is their starter now.
Is this a line mover? How much of a line mover would this be to you, Chop? Is this a point? Or is it less than that?
I don't think a running back has ever been...
With the way Cleveland runs the ball, though, as that's kind of their identity on offense, if you, like, take Chubb out of the mix, you don't think that shifts it at all?
I mean, history shows it wouldn't. History shows it wouldn't.
So Kareem Hunt's out there. He's out there at the age of 29.
I mean, they did well with Jerome Ford last year. I picked him up in fantasy after that. He had a good season. So, I don't think this moves the needle.
It's 2.5 right now. Browns minus 2.5.
Browns, keep an eye on it. I don't think it would move it, but maybe it does. Maybe I'm wrong.
So, that is the breaking news. Did you say something? Did I hear a drop in my headphones or not? Okay. me. Bobby, before best and worst of the weekend... Bobby says, this is the week. Why are you so confident the contracts get done, or is it just an easy take since we're 2 weeks out?
Well, I mean, it's just CD that I think is going to get done. I still don't think Dak gets done, but, you know, whenever we've talked about it during this time and it's like, does he report by week one of camp, week two, and, you know, things like that. I just, after talking to different people over the weekend, the overwhelming sense I get from them is they're getting it this week. The Cowboys, I think, believe they're getting it done this week. And I think when you hear Jerry talking about it post-game, which Jerry's been willing to talk about CD the whole time and throw out little barbs here or there or have a little comment here or there, he was shutting everything down and being very short with every CD question the other night.
Jerry, as you're near the season starting, any updates on CD?
I don't have any updates, but we are near the season starting.
Have you seen him or his representation since you got back?
We have a lot of things to talk about. I'm going to be talking about who's here.
Any plans to meet with Diggs face-to-face like you did last year with Zach?
Diggs?
Lamb. Excuse me.
I plan on Diggs. I'll see Diggs face-to-face. We've been seeing it.
So no discussions face-to-face with your cornerback?
Lamb.
With the receiver, Lamb. Yeah. I don't know why I'm
I've been talking to Diggs. Diggs had a baby. And so we've been really talking about that.
So Jerry taking every opportunity to just, all right, you threw me a, you screwed up and said Diggs, all right, cool, I'm going to focus on Diggs, not even going to address it. I knew what you're talking about, but I'm not going to address it. I've never heard Jerry use the standard personnel line of, I'm only talking about people who are here.
Yeah.
That to me says, zip the lips, let's get this done. The sense, I think, is that this does get done this week. I don't know what those terms are. I know Schefter was up there talking about what the disagreements were on Get Up a few minutes ago, but I don't know what it'll look like, but it sounds like the Cowboys are confident it's going to get done.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line to hit us up on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. It is now time to recap everything you did. We got a Texas Rangers ticket giveaway coming up here momentarily. First, best and worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
Let's start with worse for the Los Angeles Chargers trapped in an elevator and having to be rescued by the Dallas Fire Department at the Westin Hotel downtown.
Is the elevator the thing we take for granted the most?
Not me. I worry about it in this building all the time.
This building's a little squirrely. But like generally, it's just like, oh, yeah, just get in the elevator. Take it up. And there, it can stop. It doesn't. It's like an umpire. Like, you don't notice it as a problem until you're trapped in the elevator.
Well, whenever though it has like a hiccup or a delay, like I don't have overall problems like with this building. The water sometimes doesn't work here and there, but and the AC is fixed.
It's
but
just water. It's
the
just water.
The elevator. I mean, walking up these steps when you got 8 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And then you got to start the show gassed. That'll expose you real quick.
With a 40-pound backpack?
Yes. They were stuck in the elevator for 2 hours at the team hotel. Jim Harbaugh said, Justin Herbert, what a hero.
Yeah.
He was among the 11 or 12 players on the elevator, as well as the wife of Dan Fouts. The wife of Dan Fouts, Chargers TV analyst, and Dallas Fire Rescue were all over the scene lifting people through the ceiling panels into an adjacent elevator in order to get them out. Can you imagine being stuck in that with him? Can
no.
you imagine that?
Oh, no. You would panic. Like, yeah, anybody can be calm in an elevator until your butt's about to explode.
Yeah, that was an interesting tweet you sent out.
Was it wrong? Was it wrong?
I just don't know why that's where your head goes first.
Yeah. Was anyone pooping? Did anyone have explosive diarrhea?
I mean,
that's what I think.
This is what I think.
Not the air suffocation, not 100 out. Did anyone have bad seafood the night before?
Like, the first thing that the leader needs to do is designate a pee corner. Okay? That's the first thing you've got to do. When you're trapped in a crowded elevator, you've got to designate this corner right here. This is the toilet. That's what you got to do.
I will say, this fear of getting stuck in an elevator is exactly why I will like pee before we get in the elevator to go down. Like, I won't wait to get downstairs if I gotta go. Like, it's not like, well, let's get on the elevator and I'll go I will do it up here.
Really?
First. Yeah. Because I hate the idea of like I'm gonna get stuck in here.
Has anyone ever gotten stuck in one? And for how long?
I had the one at AT&T Stadium like hang up and get stuck for like 30 seconds once. And I was kind of freaking out, because I know that happened to John Machota, got stuck on there for like 15 minutes one time, and so I was a little panicking there, especially because I didn't have a cell signal. I was like, oh crap, I'm gonna be stuck in here, and then it just started going again.
Yeah, I would think that's the best place to get stuck, where someone's obviously gonna notice, although those elevators can take forever.
Yeah.
So someone may just be like, nah, they're going up and down, it's taking forever, it's stopping on every single floor.
Like, I've never been stuck
in an old rickety building at a hotel B&B.
Yeah, like the one that we were, like the Pearl. Like we were out in San Fran at the Tenderloin.
Oh.
That one we were stuck at. That had your name written on the inside, and you had never been there before.
Yes.
That one.
Yeah.
And it was
creepy.
That was very creepy. And like if you were stuck in that one, like you could go weeks without somebody finding you. Because we were the only ones staying in the entire hotel.
Yeah, but if you're scared of elevators, you should just take steps to avoid it.
I see what you did there.
I stole like that from what? David Hellman. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Steps. Take the steps.
You take steps to avoid it. You take actual steps.
Yeah.
Is Hellman taking the steps?
That's what Hellman said. Hellman said it as a joke. I just stole it from him.
Jim Harbaugh is such a coach. Quote, you get in those situations and it's a test of wills. I was proud of each of the guys and the two women that were on that elevator. That's a win. You feel good about yourself. You were challenged. It was a test of will. And you pull it down or you pull it in. And it was hot as each person came off the elevator, sweating, and some had the shirt off. He's taking off the shirt with Dan Fouts' wife sitting there in the elevator.
You pull it down, you pull it in. It was hot and sweaty taking shirts off. Jeez.
More from Harbaugh. Justin Herbert, his hair was a little wet, but his shirt was completely dry. That was another thing that blew me away. So you want to talk about clutch?
Yeah.
Fourth quarter testing. Trap your draft pick in an elevator in Indianapolis.
That should happen in Indy at the combine. Yeah. Every single quarterback needs to get trapped in an elevator and figure out how they did. It's got to be a surprise.
Quote, Justin Herbert's a leader. He was a rock, kept everybody calm, and everybody kept their poise. He did invite the Dallas Fire personnel to the team's meal room to eat, and he said it could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot more hours. Who knows how it would have ended.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh.
If only Justin Herbert would have viewed that viewed the Jaguars a couple years ago the same way he viewed that elevator, maybe he would have had the playoff win.
What a rock. What a Rets football guy right there.
Best and worst of the weekend, RJ Choppy back from Michigan.
Man, I don't know where to start on the best and worst. I'll say this. The best is the people of Northern Michigan. I left a rangefinder at a golf course. That's one of those things where it's like shoot the pin and it'll tell you exactly how far away it is, right?
Are they accurate?
Very accurate. Very, very accurate.
So you're cheating.
No, you're allowed to use those.
Are they expensive?
Yeah, they're like $300.
Woo!
Yeah, they're like $300. Well, I left mine at a golf course. And it was a really cool spot. It was a very old golf course. Jack Nicklaus has played there. Like, there's a lot of guys that have played there over the years. So I leave it there, and I didn't realize this till the next day. And I go to reach for it at the next round. I was like, uh-oh, where'd it go? Big problem. I call up. I was like, there's no way they have this. The cart kids took it, or somebody else took it. Like, that's what happened. That's what happened here. I know that. You go to a public course here, 100% chance it's gone, okay? Because I've had that happen. I took the one I have. Now, I didn't buy. I found at a golf course.
Oh, you didn't turn it in.
I did turn it in.
Do unto others.
I brought it to the pro shop, and I said, hey, I found this rangefinder. And the guy, he goes, what are you doing? He goes, no one's going to call up and get this because this thing's going to be taken. If I put this in Lost and Found, one of the cart kids is taking it. Oh. He goes, you just take it. I was like, okay, cool.
Wow.
I'll take it. So I call up, and he goes, yeah, we got about a half dozen here. These people are so honest.
They're so nice.
They're so nice.
Yes.
They brought it back to the Lost and Found.
And people say that about Dallas and the South.
And
we're kicking it back to Michigan.
Kicking it back up north.
Up north.
Fantastic. I cannot say enough about the people up there saving me an extra $300. I didn't want to have to spend that. That wouldn't have been an extra. I didn't pay for it the first time. that is absolutely the best of the weekend. That was really cool for them to do that, for me to get that thing back. But the trip was great. The trip was great overall.
Better than your previous trips there. It sounded like it.
I think it was. We played a lot of golf. We stayed on a cabin on a lake.
Whoa.
A small lake.
Wow.
And we got in the canoe. Canoed across.
Oh, nice.
Across the entire lake. It's not a big lake, right? It's not huge. But I
canoodled
got
in the canoe.
We did not canoodle in the canoe. I'm not a water guy. So, like, I'm, like, hanging on for dear life on this canoe. And I fell out of it and scraped up my leg. Big, giant.
Dang!
Big, giant gash.
You legit fell out of it?
I was trying to get out, right? So, we had gone to shore. And Sarah gets out of this thing. So, now, I'm standing up. And as she gets out, the weight distribution gets thrown off. So, now, I'm like, whoa, 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 back and forth. Finally, I try to jump out of it. And I scrape my knee on some tree branch or something like that that was in there. So I got that. That was a big problem. She fell through the dock.
What?
It was an old rickety dock, and she fell right through it. Well, one of the panels had snapped, and her foot goes right through it.
Whoa.
Didn't cut up? No, not really. I got more cut up than she did. She didn't draw blood at it or anything. But that was a little scary. And I see her just half her leg missing, and I'm like, oh, my God. That happens in Texas. You got a copperhead down there biting your toe off. Yeah. But up there, there's nothing really to worry about. Maybe you'll get yourself a raccoon or whatever. We did see a snake, little garter snake, yeah. Little one.
Did you go approach it since you're now a snake expert?
No, I took some photos of it.
Oh, okay.
Some photos of it, but no, okay. I didn't do that. No.
No snake fence necessary for you?
No snake fence necessary.
Ah, I see.
But it seems like it's working.
It's working great.
You haven't had a copperhead in a while.
It is working great. Joseph Hicks, the man. DM me for more details. Now, you didn't canoodle in the canoe, but...
We did canoodle on a couple of golf courses. Yeah, we did.
So how...
Like on the greens?
Yeah, it was not on the greens.
Yeah, how did that go?
Well, you're not really... You could go in the woods there. You go in the woods here, you never know, right? It's different. Rattlers and copperheads up there. I mean, you've got nothing to work. Maybe a bear.
Yeah.
Right. But you could, there's not going to be that many bear. Right?
So two golf courses.
Two golf courses. Yeah. It was pretty good.
Look at that smile.
See, hey, you should try it. Hey, pick up golf. I know you picked up golf.
Breeze action.
Oh, yeah. I know you picked up golf recently.
Well done. You're reading Peyton's email. Yeah. Impressive. And that is the best and worst of the weekend segue.
Yeah, terrible golf experience. You know, my friends will golf every other weekend. I don't do it as much as they do, so I try and get out, every other month, maybe once every 6 months, if I'm lucky. But yeah, terrible, terrible golf experience. Kicked off the weekend in a bad way. You're just trying to be productive on a Friday right after the show. Went from here straight to Irving Golf Club, and the slice was hurting me, man. I think I lost on every drive. I lost 14 of 18. 14 balls in 18 holes.
Dang!
Wow! Yeah. All off my drive, too. Nothing else. Everything else. Once I did my drop, it was perfect to the green.
But you said you were putting like a professional.
The putting was awesome. I will say that. I was outside. I'd laid up a little bit with the wedge outside the green, right on the edge. And, we're talking 10, 15-yard putts here.
How hot was it?
Pretty hot. Got burnt. I put the sunscreen on. Not enough, though. Didn't put enough. Our tee time was like 10:55, 11 o'clock. I was like, we had some breeze, some clouds in the sky. I was like, okay, I'll be fine with this. And then, it was a four-hour round.
And then Saturday you worked. Do you think that those around you would think you were another control freak, like last Cowboys game?
Well, no one would know because home games, everyone's at the stadium. And so it's just me. So now it's when I really get bossy because we had new guy roll on highlights back here in the back, Trevor, who did a great draw. Great job. Chris is in running the network in the network studio, so it's just us three up here, but yeah, I'm bossy.
Bob, I know you want to start off your best and worst of the weekend with a Tolo dedication and shout out.
Yeah, it was some pretty upsetting news that we got on Friday.
What's up? Today we're drinking a frozen margarita with fresh watermelon and two shots of that good old rock and roll tequila.
Worst of the weekend is definitely the passing of Kenny and Quinlan, who was one of our most loyal Tolos, and specifically was almost a supporting cast member on G-Bag. Every week on What You Drinking, What You Thinking, he was calling in, and that was his line, the two shots of rock and roll tequila. And so Kenny passed away, I believe, on Thursday. We found out about it on Friday, right before G-Bag went on the air. And so, really, really sad.
So many
news.
Tolos responded to this as well.
Yeah, he's somebody who, like, people want to take pictures with him when he shows up to our events. When they realize, oh, that's Kenny and Quinlan, then they're all excited to see him. I saw him last probably, I think it was about 6 weeks ago. I had gone out to a G-Bag remote, and he was hanging out there, and we talked for a few minutes. But listen to the morning show, listen to KNC, listen all the way through, all the way. And so Kenny passed away at 70. Last week, and it was a bummer. And so later that night, I went to Vector Brewing, and Eric and Zach were there, and Eric had rock and roll tequila in his car. And so we went outside, had two shots of rock and roll tequila. No, it's because Kenny had given it to him previously, and so he still had it in his car. And so we did two shots of rock and roll tequila, and remembered our good buddy Kenny, but a lot of Tolos I know were saddened by that too. It's a big loss here at the station for sure.
Two shots is low for you too.
I mean, how big's the shot, right? Kenny and I were champs. We our shots are bigger than other people. I'd never had rock and roll tequila this, and I think they all are flavor different. This one's flavored strawberry. I never had strawberry flavored tequila.
Sounds wonderful.
It tasted like Fanta, basically.
I'll inject my liquor intake this weekend. I finally took your advice. I was watching the barbecue thing, and they were making a peanut butter. What's the old fashioned?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, peanut butter. And then it clicked in my mind that you said, try this screwball whiskey. Oh, and I think I had it in a shot.
You had. Yeah, it's dangerous. So dangerous.
I'm in love with it.
Are you drinking it room temperature or chilled?
Chilled.
Chilled. It tastes like a peanut butter milkshake.
It's amazing. And it's not like, I'm like, this is going to get too sweet on the third or fourth sip. I think that they have balanced like the sweetness perfectly. I'm in love with it. I want to just get a bowl of jelly. And I want to drink it and eat just a bowl of jam. Drink it and eat a bowl. I want to chase it with a spoonful of jam because that is how wonderful this thing smells and tastes. I love it.
There is no kickback.
No.
Like, you know, you'll take a shot of something else and there's none. It's so dangerous.
I can even mix it with something else. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm going to mix this and see if I can still get the peanut butter taste with something else stronger. And it was in that. I tasted it in that. It was very subtle, but not too weak. It was fantastic. And then yesterday I was like, let me try three sips of this to see if I'm sick of it. Like I was just, you know, overreacting. Nope. Just as good. Fantastic. And it was like $29.
Yeah, not expensive.
No, now the alcohol content on it's not as high as some of it. I think it's like 32% or something. It's lower.
It's not like that 1845. Holy crap.
But it is one of those where I don't know if you've had this experience yet. You will. You're going to hear it get kind of gritty when you open the cap later because there is a lot of sugar in there and it'll build up on it. But it tastes so good. I've got some left. I'll bring it over to you next weekend. I'll let you have the rest of that one.
Or this weekend. I do need to go back to Peyton.
Okay.
Because his cooking craze has taken over the Metroplex. After last week,
hot dogs, we did
if you shut up, I'll say it. Choppy, you missed it last week. The air fried hot dog experiment.
Seasoned.
He seasoned them.
Yeah.
He seasoned them. He brought them in. And Tolos are now trying it.
Man, people left and right are tweeting at me, DMing on Twitter and Instagram, and they're like, "Hey, man, I'm about to try it. You know, what's the temperature I put on? How long do I put on?" Travis out there, who's always messaging me on Instagram, was talking to me about it, and I mean, people are really trying this. I mean, it was something that was so stupid that just came to my mind. I was like, "We'll see if this really takes off." But man, Tolos are going after it.
People were scoring it, like dressing it up, making it look all artistic and creative. Huge.
I got to try the mustard binder, like we talked about with Pittman, to see if like the actual.
I can't believe Pittman endorsed that. That was his dumbest food take ever.
If the seasoning will stay. Well, I don't know. The week before, he also endorsed my. When you were out, he endorsed my idea that seafood places will make the rest of the food taste like fish. So
idiot.
He and I are in lockstep. By the way, Sean, screwball mixed with cranberry juice is what everybody's telling you tastes like the peanut butter and jelly.
Oh!
That's what people are mixing it with. That ends up mixing it with.
And it ends up with diabetes, too.
Really?
You might. You never know.
Really quickly, quick shout out. Suya, who is a big listener to the morning show, has been for a long time, that I saw at AT&T Stadium, was down there saying hey to Mike, the one like Mojo on, or John, the one like Mojo on the Twitch. And we had caught up. And while I was waiting for him, somebody came up and she said, "Oh, Bobby Bell." She's like, "Can I get a picture with you?" I was like, "Sure." And she goes, I just want to let you know, I hated you before you were on the morning show. She's like, "Since you've gotten on the morning show, you're cool." But she's like, "But definitely before then, I did hate you a lot." I was like, "Thanks, okay."
There are only two or three NFL offseason lists that I only care about, and one of them just dropped from The Athletic. Is the league buying the Aaron Rodgers rebound? Is anyone on Mahomes' tier? And where is number four? NFL talent evaluators weigh in with one of the best QB lists out there. That's next after we hook you up on your home of the Rangers.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.